If we leave that door open, there might be a little more air.
I want to talk tonight about making a living. You're so cute when you're nervous. And I want to begin with a reading on page 184 of the text. God's son is indeed in need of comfort, for he knows not what he does, believing his will is not his own. The kingdom is his, and yet he wanders homeless. At home in God he is lonely, and amid all his brothers he is friendless. Would God let this be real if he did not will to be alone himself? And if your will is his, it cannot be true of you because it is not true of him. Oh, my child, if you knew what God wills for you, your joy would be complete. And what he wills has happened, for it was always true. When the light comes and you have said, God's will is mine, you will see such beauty that you will know it is not of you. Out of your joy, you will create beauty in his name, for your joy could no more be contained than his. The bleak little world would vanish into nothingness, and your heart will be so filled with joy that it will leap into heaven and into the presence of God. I cannot tell you what this will be like, for your heart is not ready. Yet I can tell you and remind you often that what God wills for himself, he wills for you, and what he wills for you is yours. The way is not hard, but it is very different. Yours is the way of pain, of which God knows nothing. That way is hard indeed and very lonely. Fear and grief are your guests, and they go with you and abide with you on the way. But the dark journey is not the way of God's Son. Walk in light, and do not see the dark companions, for they are not fit companions for the Son of God, who was created of light and in light. The great light always surrounds you and shines out from you. How can you see the dark companions in a light such as this? If you see them, it is only because you are denying the light. But deny them instead, for the light is here, and the way is clear. God hides nothing from his Son, even though his Son would hide himself. Yet the Son of God cannot hide his glory, for God wills him to be glorious and gave him the light that shines in him. You will never lose your way, for God leads you. When you wander, you but undertake a journey that is not real. The dark companions, the dark way, are all illusions. Turn toward the light, for the little spark in you is part of a light so great that it can sweep you out of all darkness forever. For your Father is your Creator, and you are like him. Most of the time when we think about what it means to make a living, what do we think about? One word. Money. Such a small perception compared to who you are. Such a small conception compared to what you are. You are the glorious child of God, and God's desire is that you understand how glorious you are. Through that understanding of how glorious you are, extend your glory out from you in everything you do, in everything you say, in everything you think. And as you extend that glory, it is just like everything else. Whatever you put out there comes back to you a thousandfold. When you're putting out thoughts like, I wonder if I'll make enough money, you are not putting out thoughts that are glorious. And so what you get back is scarcity because of the scarcity of your thought forms. The life of purity is actually the life of doing what you want to do. Now, most of us, when we think about a career, one of the things, even if we think in terms of what we'd love to do, then we think, oh, but I don't know if I could make a living doing that. Or we have this idea, well, first I have to do this, and then when I get myself set up financially, I'll do what I really want to do. If you didn't have the idea of service and of your ministry, which is what we call making a living here, to make a living doesn't mean just to make money. To make a living means the abundance machine within you, that which is your niche, truly. And you can't find your niche described in the newspaper. And you can't find your niche described in some agency's bulletins. You will find your niche through God. Because there is a perfect form for you in everything. There is a perfect service for you. There are perfect relationships for you. If you will allow the universe to clothe you, if you will allow the universe to fit you by merely doing your part, concentrating on the light which is within you and extending it, you will find that there is so much abundance that the universe will literally create according to your self-perception. So when your self-perception is turned back to who and what you are, that you are the light of God, you are love itself, and you are here merely to extend it as He shows you the way to extend it, then your career will come to you. Because to make a living, like I said, is to make that abundance machine within you. And if you're looking first to see whether or not it made you money, that is absolutely the way of darkness. To look out there for anything is to look into darkness. To look in here for everything is to look in light. To look into the light means you don't do it because it makes you money. It means you do it because it's the right thing to do. You know, our generation is not going to go down as the generation of the greatest integrity throughout the ages. And so many of us have completely lost sight of the fact that some things you do because it's the right thing to do. And to say that it is the right thing to do means that it is the right thing to do for you. Because if you don't do it, who else will? Whatever is your particular gift, whatever is the particular love that you might give, that's God's way of saying, if you don't do it, I don't know what I'll do. One of the exercises is my part is essential to God's plan for salvation. But so many of us have this idea that I would love to do it, but I'm waiting until I can make a living doing it. Right? But if you understand that it is your living to do that which is powerful within you, then you don't fall for that deception. You don't fall for that delusion that you will delay it. You will delay it until it will make you money. Many times doing things without making money, you should be paying those people because by getting the experience, you're learning how to do it. And that's the truth of the matter. Many of the things that we do where we don't get money back, what we are getting back is learning how to do the job. Learning all kinds of things that are alignment of our integrity. As long as we have the idea of how to make a living, having to do with making a living according to what the world puts back to us as our power or our prestige or our money, we are thinking such limited ideas. These are the ideas of withhold. I can't tell you how many times people say to me, well, I can't decide what to do in my career. And there's this like suffering in their eyes, you know? Can't decide what to do in my career. And they tell me all about their business, and then I say, okay, now tell me. Don't think about what could be or what you judge limitations to be or whatever. What do you really want to do? Let's say there are no limitations. What do you really want to do? And then they go, it's like you release them from prison or something. Ah, what I really want to do. A whole different look comes over their face. Oh, what I really want to do is, and usually it's nothing. There's nothing so particularly dramatically different from what they're doing right now, except that what they're doing right now, their mind is telling them, oh, well, you know, it's a responsible business. Let me tell you something. If you've ever read any books about cosmic laws around money, the first law of money is if you're doing what you really want to do, you'll make money. If you're doing what really comes from you, I meet so many people who say, oh, I'm really undisciplined. I'm really irresponsible about work. I'm really undisciplined in work and in money. I absolutely refuse to agree with that perception of yourself. There is no such thing as this. I know in the days when I thought that I was lazy and I thought that I was undisciplined and I thought that I was all those things, it wasn't that I was inherently those things. It's that I was blocked inside. And I was blocked inside because I didn't love what I was doing. When I found what I loved to do, then even though it didn't bring forth money, because I loved to do it, it brought forth the best which is within me. So if anything brings forth the best which is within you because it's what you love to do, that means that all the aspects of your character, which alone are the blocks to your abundance on any level, those blocks become obliterated. They become eradicated. They melt in the presence of the real you. So it's not that you're lazy, it's that you're all clogged up inside. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not that you're undisciplined about something, it's that you don't really want to be there, right? To understand that your life is lived of service, meaning that that service has to do with what would make you happy. The understanding that God's will is your will. Then when you think of what would really make you happy, then do it. Somebody said to me the other day, well, what do you mean about that? So what you see in metaphysics, so-called metaphysics, a lot of metaphysics, is okay, I'm going to stand up in this crowd and I'm going to now declare that I will be making a living doing what I love to do in 6 months. That's not it. And I'll tell you why it's not it. You see, it's trying to reconcile the irreconcilable. You're either going to live in purity or you're not. You don't say to God, okay, I now declare, Lord, that I will be making money doing what I love to do in 6 months. I think God would be much more open to your conversation if you simply said, God, I'm willing to do it. Right? How about that? See, magic is when you say, God, I want it to be this way, okay? And the miraculous is where you say, I just want to do it. I want to give it. To give without reservation. If you give without reservations, you will receive no reservations. If you give with reservations, what you will receive back is reservations. Somebody said to me the other day, well, I don't understand. What am I supposed to do? Work at some job that is irrelevant for $5 or $6 an hour and then work real hard and then at night do what I love to do? And I said, you know, I can't agree with you that that's such a lousy way of living. That's what I did. I thought there was great integrity to it, and I still do. There was integrity to it because the job that I had for the $5 or $6 an hour was paying the bills that I was accruing so that I was taking care of myself. And I'll tell you something, a man or a woman who takes care of himself, that is a beautiful thing in itself. That is a beautiful thing in itself. And then I continued to do what I love to do, and one of the reasons that it didn't bother me was because I knew I had faith. I knew this wasn't going to last forever. I knew that this was simply taking care of business while I was learning. I knew that God would always be leading me on to greater and greener pastures. What is so wrong with that? We're always trying to look and to figure, how will I gain from it? The issue, if you really want to find the light which is within you and find the glory which is within you and allow that glory to just manifest around you in all dimensions of expression, is not to think about how you will gain, but to think about how the world will gain. Now, the mind says, well, if I only think about how the world will gain, then I will lose. But the world is not outside of you. The world is inside of you. So when you give to the world, the only one you're giving to is yourself. All I give is given to myself. We get very hung up, though, on the money thing because we think, well, if I give it and I don't get money back in compensation, then I was not valued. If you think that the money you get back from doing something is the only thing that describes your value, then not only do you not understand money and the value of money, but you do not understand yourself and you do not understand the value of yourself. This is what it means in the Course to walk with the dark companions. This is what it means to walk the dark way, constantly worried about how you'll make it in the world. There is no world. That is the message of the Course. It's all made up. It's just your projections and everybody else's. And because the hallucination is shared with millions and millions of people, you think, well, it can't be a hallucination because everybody's doing it. No, a lot of people can do it. It's a mass hallucination. It's a shared hallucination. If you look to magazines and to newspapers and to television and to the news and to movies and to what other people say about how to be with it, how to be it, all you're doing is these people who got their information from the densest level of manifestation are like plodding along trying to figure out what's beautiful. Right? And then you're going to take a cue from that. Look inside and you'll see what's beautiful. And the only thing that you get to experience in your life is what you make manifest to others. So if you want to see something beautiful, give all that beauty that's inside of you to somebody, anybody. I don't care. You know, if you desire to be of service, you will not find a dearth of avenues by which you might serve mankind. I know that from my own life. All you have to do is to say, dear God, I am willing to serve. Dear God, I'm willing to do it. And within a week or 2 weeks or something, you'll have this wonderful idea about something to do, but you might not even recognize that that was the answer to your prayer. First of all, because it sounds like so much fun. How could it be my avenue of service? God desires that you learn through joy. God doesn't desire that you learn through pain. Your service is that which lights up your eyes. Your service is that which makes you happy. But all this old business, this old metaphysics, business of live your vision, live your dream, a lot of people's minds are still putting that, well, living my vision is doing this and making $75,000 the first year. That's your vision. That's your dream. To the extent that you are concentrating on those things, you are concentrating on the things of this world. And the things of this world are walls in front of you. To be angelic, as we were talking about last week, is to understand that there are no walls because the world is nothing other than the projection of people's thoughts. And the ironic thing about it, of course, is that when you do begin to live that way, where you are following the master within, you're either going to listen to what Newsweek says about it or to what God says about it. That's the truth of the matter. You're going to decide, where are you going to receive your data? Truly. Where are you going to receive your data? Everybody's walking the fence, and it's such a high-stress place to be. This trying to reconcile the irreconcilable, trying to like to say, okay, now here's the world as I perceive it. Here's this category, and then here's money, and then here's relationships, and here's body, and this is what I could do this year, and this is my discipline, and I'm going to take God, the unlimited creature of the universe, and try to stuff it in there somehow. God doesn't appreciate your categories. God doesn't know your categories. God doesn't know your labels. All he knows is you and how beautiful you are. So he doesn't need, you know, this business like, oh, I'm not disciplined enough in business. You think that God's up there saying, he could go far, but he has no discipline in business. Rather, God would say something like, let's give him something that doesn't demand right now the discipline of business, or let's give him something where he would learn that in a sweet and gentle way, or let somebody else take care of that, or he'll learn. God only thinks in terms of coming from the universe in such a way that whatever problems you have will be healed. I meet all these people who seem to think, well, look, I'm in a business that I don't like right now. I would love to do over this what I love to do, but I think that because I'm undisciplined and because I'm irresponsible and because I don't know how to follow things through and because I don't know how to believe in myself, I think I should stay in this business that I don't like. Where? Why? I don't know. I do not see the logic in that. What makes you think that you're going to be motivated to improve yourself in a situation where you don't want to be there? If you have a hard time getting to work, it's because you don't want to be there. Now, if you begin to do that which you want to do, then even if it's not what makes you money, what I found in my own life was when I was doing what I really, you know, what really served my heart and what was my expression on the earth, then I gained a new respect for the things that I was doing just to make a living in the meantime. I gained a new respect for them. I saw them for what they were, and I didn't see it as this lowly thing because I wasn't making much for an hour. I saw it as what it was. It was what would support me in the meantime, and I had a respect for that and the zen of that. You know what I'm saying? I used to get really into typing. It was very therapeutic. It was very zen, actually. There are all kinds of things I've done in my life that, when I allowed myself to appreciate and to accept that that was apparently where I had to be and where my greatest integrity would have me be, had all kinds of lessons to show me, not the least of which is humility. Not the least of which is humility. We have no concept in this society about blossoming. We want it in 15 minutes. Right? I want to be the chairman. I don't understand why he's the chairman. I want to be the chairman. Right? The issue in life is the growth of the blossoming is taking every stage. And this gives you, this is what, you see what God knows is that it's not just what job you have, it's what you are inside. When you are pure and you are aligned with the love of God and the attitudes of service and the attitudes of love, then any job you have will lead you on to something greater. When you are not aligned with truth and with purity and with service, no matter what you have, you're headed down. It's not about the job. It's not about anything out there. It's about what's in here. And to be aligned with the knowledge that no matter where you are, whether you're in the halls of a giant corporation or you're in a restaurant or you're in any business, what you're really there to do, you see, they might think that it's a store, but you know better. Everything is a church. Everything is a place where the Holy Spirit has brought together individuals who are themselves holy and beloved children of God, who came together for reasons that have nothing to do with retailing and have nothing to do with food and have nothing to do with marketing, have nothing to do with the things of this world. It has to do with the quality of their energies. How will that waiter act towards that person, and how will that person act towards that waiter? That's what's really going on there. Everybody learning the various purity, the aspects of purity that they might learn. Are they learning how to be rude to each other? That's certainly the curriculum of the United States, isn't it? That's called the dark way. And both of those people, the person who came to lunch at the restaurant is probably thinking that their career has to do with what's going to happen in the office in the next 2 hours. And the waiter probably thinks the same thing. It's about getting out of this restaurant. Neither one of them understanding that it has to do with how they encounter each other. Your curriculum is already here. You don't have to wait for your career. Your career, everything that you do in terms of form out there, will merely be an expression of your desire to be of service. And as long as you have the desire merely to be of service in anything, then that is what it means to make a living. That's what it means to have a career, because your career, as the course would say, is that your career is as a teacher of God. So it looks like one person is in the restaurant business, and one person is in sales, and another person is a scientist, another person is an artist. The course says we all have the same career. We're all here to be teachers of God. That's the way of the Course in Miracles. We are learning to be teachers of God. To teach is to demonstrate, and God is love. Demonstrate your love. You begin to demonstrate your love, and everything, there are so many stories of things like that. People who just went out doing what they loved to do. Haven't you, you know, when you read books on excellence, when you read books sometimes on high achievers, you always read those stories of somebody who just loves to do it. Like when I went to Hawaii, on the island of Kauai, it's got this incredible coastline, right? Well, there's this one man who calls himself Captain Zodiac, because there's a zodiac is the description of the way the land meets the ocean in a certain way, with rocks and mountains and stuff. Well, this guy was just this beach bum, basically, but he loved that coastline. So he spent the entire, you know, he spent his early years, from his teenage years, his early 20s, just, he'd been into every nook and cranny, every zodiac, right? He just loved that coastline. There was nobody, he loved everything about it, and he loved the lore. He loved all the stories of the Indians and all the old Hawaiians and the settlers that had come there. He just knew it all. He just loved it. And he just spent all of his time on that, you know, on that coastline. And then people began saying, "Guy, you know so much about this coastline. Will you take me out in your boat?" Because he'd always be telling people these wonderful stories. "You want to see the coastline with me? It's so beautiful and what's over there." People began to say to him, "Gosh, you know so much. Will you take me with you out to see that coastline? It's so beautiful. Will you take me in your boat with you?" Well, you know where this guy is today. He's got like fleets, right? He sits in the top of this big business, and he sends all these boats out. And it's very beautiful because he trains the guys who take you out on the boats, and they know all this stuff. And it's all just the spirit of joy. The spirit of joy, everybody taking everybody out on the boats. And it's his business. It's his career. And it's very obvious from the price of the ticket and from how many boats he's got there that Captain Zodiac has done just fine for himself. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. And his mother might have been saying, "If you'd only get a BA in business, something to back you up." The business of living. The business of living is what we need to concern ourselves with. Nobody is holding you down. We all, when we think of making a living, we just go, "Oh," it's just like you watch the energy drain from people. Right? You just watch. It's like, "Oh, I have these chains on me." No, you don't have any chains on you except up here. And anytime you're thinking about anything with any attitude other than what I love and how I would love to share with others what I love, then that thought is a chain. No one is holding you down but you. And no one can release you but you. And that's just law. It has nothing to do with opinion. It's just about understanding how it works. But can you see that the law was set up to support you? The law is set up so that if you do what your heart longs to do, you will win. If you do what your heart longs to do, you know, there's a line in the Arnold Patton book that's awfully good. It says, if you genuinely have the need to say something, there are people who genuinely have the need to hear it. You know, it was like his loving that coastline. He was overflowing with the information, and there were people who can gain from that. I know, I did. I mean, it was wonderful. It was exciting. I don't know all that stuff, and being on the boat, it was wonderful. We all work together in this. When you give your gift, the truth of the matter is that the world is waiting for it. You know, you've all heard the line, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. But always remember that the course gives another line, and that is that when the teacher is ready, the student appears. Now, what you teach is what you demonstrate, so your student is merely people who need that demonstration. It's called your audience. You know, when you take a writing class or any kind of art class, you're learning how to be a painter, or you're learning particularly writing, a word they use often is find your voice. Right? You'll be a great, they say to somebody learning how to, in literature, how to be a writer, how to be a poet, they'll say, well, you haven't found your voice yet. Most of us have not found our voice yet. And one of the things that we're trying to do in order to make a living is try to figure out what voice other people want to hear. If they knew what they wanted to hear, then they wouldn't need you. It's the truth of the matter. What's really exciting in life is when people just put out that which is authentically them. Isn't that right? Isn't that what makes a great actor, a great performer, a great artist? That you didn't know what you wanted to see before you went to the theater, but you know once you get there if it turns you on or not. Isn't that right? As someone who has found their voice. But if you're not concerned with finding your voice because you think it's more important that you find the economics of the situation or something that the world has to do out there, you're looking away from yourself. And all of your power is found inside yourself. You're not undisciplined. You're just going in a way that your heart doesn't want to go. To find your voice is to say that what's more important is not whether I succeed or fail in the world's terms. That's not what's important. What's important is whether I do what I came to this earth to do, and that's to find the joy of living. And if you find the joy of living, it will radiate out from you. When you find the joy of living, there's a light in your eyes. When you find the joy of living, there is such an attractiveness about you. When you find the joy of living, you're out there and people notice it and they want you. They want what you have to offer. They want you on their team. There's, I mean, you know, people like the dress for success, all this stuff. How can I ape? How can I imitate? How can I do things that'll make me succeed? I don't care how beautifully you're dressed, and I don't even care what's on your resume if you have this like dull look in your eyes. Isn't that right? But to find yourself, and then all the rest comes. Find yourself in every particular area where you need to make things a little smoother, learn how to do this, learn to do that. The universe will provide for you. The universe will provide the teachers for you. Everything will come your way. You were not meant to grovel. You were not meant to grovel, and you were not meant to grope. But if you set it up that you see it that way, then you can continue to grovel, and you continue to grope for years, for lifetimes, I suppose, if you want to. But if you desire to remember that you've already got the goods, that you've already got the love to give, if you know, the Course is God will do his part if you'll do yours. That means you just take care of the content in your life, and he will take care of the form. When you're deciding what to do for your business, for your job, to think about what would make more money rather than to think about what you would love to do is not smart economically. You just think it is. Because when you do what it is you love to do, that means that it will, by definition, you will outgrow the form. You will just outgrow it. You will become bigger than it. If it's what you love to do, it means that what is there for you is growth in the areas where you need to grow. For instance, let's say it's something where you think that you're undisciplined in work, but you think that you should do that job because it gives you more money, but you're undisciplined in work. And you're going to go around thinking, well, I need to take this job because it gives me more money, but I'm real undisciplined. Now, the interesting thing about that is if you did what you love to do, you would find that you're not undisciplined. You're not undisciplined at all. When you love what you're doing, you're right out there. Therefore, you will have no problem being disciplined in business. And when that form is then too constricted to contain you for money or whatever reason, it will of itself grow. It will of itself grow. You're the center here. You are the center. And to look at anything out there to determine what you have to give and who you are and what your voice is a denial of yourself on a level so deep that I'm surprised you're not even more depressed than you are. Because when you deny those basic aspects of yourself on a daily basis, moment by moment, night by night, day by day, just squelching yourself, it is amazing how resilient we are. It's amazing that the human system actually comes up for more as much as it does. But God in his mercy, every day we get to start again. Every day we get to decide again. And the Course in Miracles says, Do not teach yourself, for you have been badly taught. Everything that you've ever been taught is the teaching that you're thinking about all of these things. To empty our minds to God and to say, I don't know what anything including this means. Just teach me. Just show me where you want me to go. The Course in Miracles is a very practical course about a moment by moment asking Him about everything. Don't ask in your job, when you're trying to decide what job to take, the idea of what will give me more money. I mean, you're a human being, you'll notice the figures. But that doesn't mean that you'll let that determine your decision. And that's where God's looking. Do you see what I'm saying? That's where God's looking. If you live with that kind of manipulation, you will get it all back. And if you're on a spiritual path, you'll get it back even more. So watch yourself. Be careful in them waters. Because if you live with manipulation, you will be manipulated. And if you live with purity, the universe will just sparkle about you and it will dance around you. You do what you do because it's the right thing to do. Because if it's your gift of love, that means that it's the right thing to do. That's living in integrity with yourself. And when you're living in integrity with yourself, then you will by definition live in integrity with others because your gift is what they need. And then when you're living in integrity with others and you're living in integrity with yourself, you are by definition living in integrity with God. And then you're home. And once you're home, you have found yourself. And once you've found yourself, you've found your gift. You have found your ministry. You have found your career. And you have found your way of making a living. Once you get it, what's the job after that? Keeping it. Staying with it. Not losing your purity. Not being tempted to think, well, now that I've got it, I can return to the old ways. It's about knowing that the universe sees everything. Nothing happens by accident. What you put out is what you'll get back all the time. So it's a constant effort. It's not even an effort. It's a constant decision. It's not an effort. But it is a constant decision to live from what is pure here, to live from what is humble here. To live in humility is to live in greatness, to know that it is a vast immorality for me to be thinking about money when God's work itself could be done through me. For me to say I'm not going to do God's work because I wouldn't make money here, that's deep stuff to do to yourself. And you're not, hurting God. It's not that it's immoral. It's not that it's bad. It's not that it's wrong. It's that it is so deeply unintelligent in terms of the laws of the universe. And when you suffer because of it, it's not because you were bad. It's not because you're being punished, but because it's a denial of yourself so profound that the twisting and the hole and the ache that you will feel inside is a natural consequence of such self-denial. To live for God is to live for yourself. To do what God wants you to do, the Course says, is to do what your own free will wants you to do. The section we were reading is that your free will to say it's not a matter of what is God's will and then what do I want to do. It's about understanding that you don't know what you want to do. When you ask your ego what you want to do, it'll be because of things like money, and the ego doesn't want you to be happy. Just because it makes you money today doesn't mean it's really leading to what is your substantial economic base. Your economic base will not come from this job or that job. Your economic base comes from the fact that you are doing something so worthwhile that even if this particular job disappeared, you're carrying that power with you. And it will reappear in form. That's an economic base. It's just the abundance and the manifest value of what you do. Right? But when you ask God's will, the Course says, then you are asking what your free will is. To follow God's will in any situation is to follow your own will. If you want to know what to do, ask. If you want to know what to do about your job, ask. If you want to know what to do about your money, ask. If you want to know what to do about your relationship, ask. 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 Not out there. Ask in here. He will speak to you very specifically. He says, I am as clear in the holy instant as you would have me be. He says in the Course, ask yourself 1,000 times a day, who walks with me? And if you still don't have it, ask yourself 1,000 times more. When you begin to live in the presence of your comforter, in the conscious presence of your companion, to feel the touch of his hand upon your shoulder, to recognize that his lantern is before you, and before you do anything, you just ask. You make no decisions for yourself. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Not what would make me money. Not any of that stuff. What do you want me to do? The one you're asking is your heart. He's not outside of you. He's inside of you. And when you begin living for your heart, you begin living for the heart of other people. Once you've got that, you will never have to ask about how you're going to make a living. You are living. Thank you very much. Amen.
to discuss tonight the idea of giving up ambition. But you know, when we talk about giving up ambition, we're just talking about allowing an energy which is more powerful than your personal ambition to work through you. A lot of people have this idea that if you ask them to give up personal ambition, they think that that means they're supposed to stay home all day and watch bad TV and eat bad food. But that's not what it means to us. That's not what it means to us to say that you give up ambition, because ambition, personal ambition, is simply not one of the higher places of consciousness that you can come from. Now, if you really want to be part of the great flow of unlimited power, which means if you want to be part of the force of God in the universe, that means that you have to allow yourself to be lifted up above these evolutionarily low planes of consciousness. And what it means to say that a plane of consciousness is low in an evolutionary sense means nothing more than that it is self-centered. Because the evolutionary quantum leap that this whole time on Earth is about is the idea that we are leaving, we are outgrowing a plane of consciousness which is me-oriented in order that it might be, that our consciousness might be oriented towards a higher self, a higher sense of self, rather than just a low self, a higher self. And this higher self is where we are one with God. So what we're about is not trying to go about making things happen for us, but rather we're about trying to allow our lives to work for Him. But remember, when you're talking about working for Him, meaning working for God, you by definition mean working for other people, because there's no place where God stops and other people start. And not only that, but there's no place where other people stop and you start. So when we talk about working for Him, we mean working for the best which is in other people, and we mean working for the best which is in us, because that's where God lives. God's not something outside of ourselves. God lives deep within the mind. But the difference is I can say, well, I'm ambitious so that I can achieve this, this, or this. Then you're talking about the small I, the separated I. You as a separated self, and that's what we mean by low-level consciousness. To say I am working for Him means I am working for the power of God, so that I'm asking that in that area of my life, as well as all others, I'm asking that my attitudes come from a higher place, a place where I'm not just coming from a concern for myself, but I'm coming from a concern for the whole. Now, when that happens, that doesn't mean that you become boring or bored, and it doesn't mean that your life becomes dull. In fact, that's when things start to really take off. What we say here is that you give up ambition in favor of inspiration. The Course in Miracles tells us not to live our lives in such a way that our plans are self-initiated. A self-initiated plan, the Course says, is actually an attack on God's plan for salvation. That when we plan our lives, we're actually attacking God's plan for salvation. Now, what that means is this. An embryo becomes a baby, and a seed becomes a flower, and the planets revolve around the sun, and none of them have to make any effort. No effort goes into it. It is the will of God. Now, if you have, you know, if somebody, let's say you achieve the greatest things in your life, let's say that every dream you could possibly dream about, great achievement, somebody comes up to you and they say, I can't believe you did that. You achieved this, you achieved that, you achieved this, you achieved that. How did you do it? When you're in an enlightened place, number one, those things will happen. And number two, your answer to that question, how did you do it, will be easily. Because that's when you're there. It happens easily. It's a term called effortless accomplishment in the Course in Miracles. So for us, the efforting, you know, when you think of personal ambition as the world defines it, usually it's the idea of efforting, going out there and making things happen, carrying that ball and making it happen, right? That idea of the rugged individualist. For us, it's the idea of not trying to make anything happen at all. And when we give up trying to make things happen, that's when we can allow things to happen. Now, that doesn't mean you don't work, but it's a different kind of work, and the work is inside. So when I say, well, how did you do this, how did you do that, and the answer to the question would be easily, that doesn't mean you didn't work, but it meant you worked on yourself. Because when you work on yourself, on your own perfection, on your becoming the best that you can be, then all that would be a reflection of that best unfolds from within you with no conscious effort on your part. Does that make sense? So what happens is that it's not that you didn't work hard to get where you are. You know, nothing happens for nothing. It's that all of these things happen around you. All of a sudden, all of this abundance happens around you. And people would maybe look at you and say, well, that's just luck. I don't see you going out there and doing a lot of, making a lot of things happen. Why did that happen to you? If it happens to you, it's because of what you did to perfect yourself. And that, as I said, is a deeper kind of work. That is what happens because you know that there is no such thing as skipping steps. Now, this idea of skipping steps is very much what a lot of contemporary metaphysics is about. To skip steps means to say, if I just visualize it, if I just set it as my goal, I can just make it happen. Right? In fact, somebody was telling me the other day, she said, well, what I do is I imagine what it would be like to have this happen in my life or to have that happen in my life, and I just imagine what it would be like, and I think if I just imagine it, then it would happen. Well, but see, that's what I call skipping a step. That doesn't mean you earned it. That doesn't mean that feeling grew naturally. That doesn't mean it was an organic unfoldment out of which abundance was reflected simply because you achieved an abundance within. It's called trying to take a shortcut. And there's really no such thing as a cosmic shortcut. Your life is meant to blossom as a flower blossoms. And we've discussed here before that it's actually unfortunate in our society that we're not all brought up gardening. Do you know what I'm saying? We as children, we don't have a sense of planting a flower, planting a seed and then watching it grow. We don't have for us, you turn on the television, it's on, it's over in 30 minutes, and that was it. So we don't have a real sense of the way nature operates. And the way nature operates is the same in the life as it is with nature outside of us. And that's why Jesus talked about the mustard seed. It's a little seed, but faith becomes the greatest plant of all. Because what happens is that a seed is planted. And that seed which is planted is your burning desire. Your burning desire to taste God. Your burning desire to taste God means your burning desire to know love. And your relationship with love becomes the most important thing to you. To say that your relationship with God becomes the most important thing is to say that love matters to me more than my ambition of trying to make a certain amount of money or more than my ambition to make a certain thing happen that I would define as success. What matters to me is becoming the most loving person that I can be. Now, as you become the most loving person that you can be, you, by definition, become as God. You become your real natural self, which is God. And when you become that, you become an inspired person. And that's when you will not have to do as much to make things happen, because you will simply have ideas that are charismatic. You will simply have ideas that are inspired. And there will be a cohesiveness which comes from your fingertips. You know, the Course in Miracles says that that's when your ministry will become powerful on this earth. Your ministry is your life. We're taught that we're all ministers. One of the exercises in the Course is, I am among the ministers of God. The idea that you see your life not as your own personal thing, you know, the Course says when you have this self-centered idea of your life as this separate entity, the Course says within that kingdom, the ego rules. And the ego is nothing other than your false belief that you are separate from everyone else. The Course says within that separate kingdom, the ego rules, and the ego rules cruelly. Because whenever you're coming from trying to make things happen for yourself alone, you will always be plagued by a sense of self-doubt, by a sense of a fear of failure, or a fear of success, or whatever. You will never be on a stable basis emotionally. Because whenever you are coming from a self-centered context, a self-centered in the small, separate sense, you are coming from an imbalance. Because only when you are coming from the level of God within you are you balanced. Because that is the balance that comes from integrity. You know, Freud said that we are neurotic people. He said that we are separated from ourselves. To be separated from the love which is within you means to be separated from your essential self, and that makes you a neurotic person. So then I don't care how much efforting you put out there, and I don't care how much goal setting you do, you're not at one with yourself, so your energy is not really at one. And so what you're putting out into the world, everything you do will be infused with that vital energy. And if your vital energy is chaotic, everything that happens out there is going to be chaotic. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, you might say, well, I'm going to make a go of my career. All I have to do is to go out and promote myself. All I have to do is go out and really get it, put it out there. Don't kid yourself. That's not all you have to do. You have to get in right alignment with the universe. Because if you're not in right alignment with the universe, then everything that you do is... You see, all that the life experience is, the Course says, is a reflection back to us of our own mind. So if deep within you, you are not in a position of love for the universe, if deep within you, you are not in that kind of right alignment with the universe, then no matter what you do will ultimately reflect back to you your lack of right alignment. But on the other hand, if you are in right alignment with the universe, which is, hey, I'm merely here to be of service. That's all I want. I'm not telling God to serve me. You know, that's what magic is. The term magic in the Course in Miracles is when you're running the show and you're actually looking to God and asking Him to be your support system. That's what a lot of contemporary metaphysics is. Universal principle, I'd like it this way, this way, this way, and this way. Please, hurry, okay? I'm just going to expect it, and you'll do it, okay? It's a lot deeper than that for us. The realm of the miraculous is not where you're looking to God to be your errand boy, as Bob Dylan says, but rather you're asking God, or the energy flow of the magnificence of the universe, how you might be of service to it. You're asking how your life might be in service to that. That is the realm of the miraculous. And when you do that, the Course says, miracles then are not under conscious control. You're not saying, I want it this way or that way. When you actually ask Christ to work through you, the Course says, then miracles occur involuntarily, and actually you will have effect on situations you might not even ever know about. That's what it means to be right alignment to the universe. To be in right alignment to the universe is to say, I am a being of love. My only desire is how I might serve in this great plan of enlightenment of the planet. And I know that all I have to do, the Course says, the primary responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself. So that means all I have to do is to just see correctly myself. I don't have to try to fix the world. I don't have to try to fix the world. What I have to do is to get rid of my own judgment. What I have to do is try to be better and better and better myself. And as long as I do that, my life cannot but be a vehicle in service of God. Does that make sense? As long as I'm taking care of my own consciousness. That's why we're not here trying to make anybody else conscious. We are simply here trying to be as conscious as we can. And when you do that, the Course says, there is a power which is at work through you that you might not even be conscious of, that is affecting situations you might not ever dream of. And then you begin to see how your own planning for your life and your own trying to make things happen becomes, as I said, an attack on God's plan for salvation. Because the mind, the Course says, cannot work in two tracks. The mind cannot serve two masters. So your mind is either listening to the voice of your own stuff, or the mind is listening to the Holy Spirit. It can't do both. And as we say here all the time, if you have one foot in this world and one foot in God's world, it's the most high-stress place to be. There's no greater anxiety than the flip-flop between those two. And not only that, you might say, in fact, because see, some of the people say to me, well, I don't understand. It used to work. You know, it used to work when I did that. Yes, when you didn't know better. When you didn't know better, it probably did. But sorry, it's too late now. If you're even here. See what I'm saying? If you're even at a point where you're going to lectures like this, probably, unless you were dragged here by someone, that means that the Course would say you ask God in and there's no going back. There's no going back. Or as it says in medieval philosophy, the bridegroom, which is Christ, does not enter the bedchamber until he is invited. But once he is invited, he does not leave. He does not leave. And so that die has already been cast. You must go, the Course says, one way or the other. And you realize that to go one way is going nowhere. And it will feel to you almost, once you know the higher laws, you'll go back to trying to live the old way of trying to make things happen. And it won't even work anymore. It's like, my wand. Have you ever felt that way? You can't use it anymore because you know better. And that is the way of the seeker. And then all you can do is just to surrender, because what's happening is that a higher force is using you now. And when the higher force uses you, that's when you realize that that higher force is your own self. That higher force is your own soul. So then it's not like you've got the football and you're going to run with it, but rather it feels as though angels are pushing you from behind. Angels are pushing you from behind. And then it's not any efforting on your part. All of this stuff is just happening and will continue to happen as is meant to, but your energy is not being taken up trying to make things happen, because that's one way the mind can operate. But your energy rather is being used just trying to make yourself as good as you can be, as loving as you can be. A lot of times people ask me how I prepare for my lectures. And certainly I have done a lot of studying of the Course in Miracles, and that was a major part of my training, as it were, for this job. But in terms of my preparation for these lectures, it's I'm living a daily life just as you are, and I'm trying my best to get better every day. I'm trying my best. You see, the Course says that your life is a perfect curriculum for you. The Course says that every single person has a highly individualized curriculum. So whatever your relationships are, whatever things come into your life, your encounters, that is your stuff. That is your curriculum. And what each of us have to do is to be using that curriculum to try to get better. Not, you see now how different that is from my orientation being to try to make the world wake up? You see what I'm saying? You know, it's a very separatist thing. It's a very bogus thing, actually. I can't stand it. I never stay in the room when people are coming from that place. It's not a matter of trying to get anybody else to do anything. It's just a place where you're trying to be as good as you can be. And when you do that, you don't have to worry that the power won't flow through you. To the extent that you are doing that, the power cannot but flow through you because your mind is in right alignment. Now, the exercise that we will be doing later on in the evening says, I will step back and let him lead the way. I will step back and let him lead the way, which is the same thing as when Jesus in the Bible said, thy will be done and not my own. This is real offensive, actually, to a lot of us at a certain time, a certain way of looking at things. In fact, Jesus says in the Course in Miracles, my way is not difficult, it's just that it's apt to be perceived as personally insulting. Because you have this idea, you know, it's like, I want to do it myself. You know, I should be running the show. But that's like saying that you are an art student and Pablo Picasso walks in. You're in beginning. You're in painting 101A. And all of a sudden, Pablo Picasso walks in and he says, hey, I got an hour. I could spend it with you. You want me to work with you? You want me to help you? Can you imagine yourself saying, Pablo, I want to do it myself. Right? You're going to turn down a master. Now, all that Jesus is... All that any Christed master represents, whether it's Jesus or someone else, is the idea of someone, as we call Jesus here, we talk about him like he's an evolutionary elder brother. He says, I have already walked the way that you are walking. I have already taken all of these lessons to their max. He says, so all you have to do is just to accept what I learned. You don't have to take the steps anymore. You don't have to get crucified and resurrected in all these little ways you do all the time. All you have to do is just to accept as I accepted that the power of God is the power of the universe, that the power of love is the power of God, and that all I have to do in any moment, in any situation, is to know that love matters here and nothing else does. It's all I have to know. I don't have to know about anything about making things happen. All I have to know is that to the extent that I recognize that the function of my life on earth, my mission on this earth is to forgive, meaning to see that love is real here and nothing else is. To that extent, I cannot but become the vehicle for the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you think about the master, see what happens. Like if you were in Picasso's, let's say you were in a painting class, Picasso walks in, he says he's going to spend the afternoon with you. You would get so excited. You would be so jazzed just in his presence that when he left, you would never be the same. You see, this society doesn't have much appreciation for the image of the master and the apprentice. And it's unfortunate because the master and the apprentice is a very empowering archetype. It is the idea that through being in the presence of someone who is ahead of you in something, you get there quicker. Just through being in their presence. And not only that, but don't forget, when you are the apprentice, the whole way that image works is that the apprentice one day goes past the master. That's how progress is made. Now, a lot of people say, why can't I be the master? That's the kind of generation we are. I want to be the master, right? I've been with people like that who didn't understand, well, why aren't I there? Because you're in kindergarten, right? A lot of people who like want it to be fast, they look at a certain kind of ministry on the outside and they don't understand why they're not in the mastery position. But like I said before, you can't skip steps to mastery. There is no such thing as that. But one way to quicken the process to mastery is to be in the presence of a master in whatever field. Now, the interesting thing about that is this is actually a very, very common scriptural archetype in the East, in the Buddhist masters, the Zen Buddhist masters. When you're in training to be a Zen Buddhist master, one of the things that you do is you sweep up around the altars. You sweep up around, you know, you don't mind getting your fingernails dirty. You don't mind doing windows. Right? But one of the things of our generation is that we find that very insulting. We don't want to do windows. We don't want to get our fingernails dirty. We want to go straight to mastery. And that's the same thing as saying, I want to go straight to this job before it's a reflection of my inner self. You can't have abundance out there coming from you when you haven't achieved the internal abundance yourself. And not only that, but let me tell you something. Once you get to the point where you have the abundance outside of you, once you've been through that road where the abundance outside of you is coming from the abundance inside of you, you're already at a point where you realize that that's not only how it got you here, but that's how you stay there. Right? In other words, the more successful you get, the more humble you get. And that gets back to what I said before. The more you know, the more you're accountable. The more you know, the more accountable you are to the idea that of yourself you are nothing, and through the grace of God, everything is happening through you. Now, the idea of being in Pablo Picasso's presence, right? And then you'd be real jazz and you'd be further ahead. The same goes true with the, is true with the spiritual master. So what happens when with Jesus, he says, my mind joined with your mind shines away the ego. My mind joined with your mind shines away the ego. So what that means is this. If you are coming from the level of mastery spiritually, that simply means you are coming from a level where you have learned the mental musculature of stepping aside and allowing God to work through you. That means you have simply mastered the mental technique of not being concerned about your own good, but knowing that it is the good of the whole that matters. And that takes practice. It's a muscle. Now, what happens when you call on Him, and we call on Him in this course simply because He wrote these books. He is not the only form that Christ takes. He is not the only Christed master. Jesus is the master that we concern ourselves with here simply because He wrote these books, as I said. But if you have a discomfort with that word or that name, that's fine. You can call it something else. But the idea is that when you call on Him, once again, the apprentice to the master, when you call on Him, it's like being with Picasso for the afternoon. You're lifted up. You go faster. And that's what it means to say, when he says, my mind joined with your mind shines away the ego, means if you just call on Him, your ego is to that extent obliterated. Your own selfish thinking, your own small thinking is bypassed because when you're in the presence of absolute light, darkness is gone. To be thinking Jesus. You see, the name Jesus. The Course says that when you just think the name Jesus, you are by definition thinking the relationship of the Father to the Son. And the relationship of the Father to the Son means total shared power, because that's what God did. God shared His power with the Son. So when you think, you know, this whole idea, it's in the Bible, do these things in remembrance of me. What a beautiful line that Jesus says, do these things in remembrance of me. What that means is I do these things in remembrance of Jesus because when I fill my mind with that idea, the very word in any language shoots you right into the level of consciousness where you realize the actual relationship of the Father to the Son. So when you are thinking Jesus, you are calling on the light which casts out your own smaller self-interest. Does that make sense? So that's how you practice. You simply call on the presence of the Master because when you are in His presence, you skip steps. When you are in His presence, you are by definition not coming from such a small place. Now, we live in a contemporary world. As we say here all the time, we don't suggest when you are in your you know, the corporate office of the vice president of your business and he says, I want you to do this or that. We do not suggest that you say, fine, I'll discuss it with Jesus and I'll get back to you. We do not suggest that you say that, but we do suggest that you think it. We do suggest that you think it because there simply is no greater power. Why should you go about learning how to paint by yourself when Picasso could be with you? Why should you go about trying to make your life work when you can call upon the power of all greatness, which will simply allow you to learn what it means to allow things to happen rather than to make things happen? When Jesus was in a room, things happened. It wasn't, you don't get the image of Jesus that he was out there, you know, he didn't have staff meetings in the morning where he said, all right, you do this, you do that, you do that, get back to me. You know, that's not the kind of image that he had. He shared with people. He loved people. He spoke to the disciples. But he was not coming from any kind of a hard energy. And that's always what you get when you read about certain kind of spiritually enlightened masters. The spiritually enlightened master, one of the great images that you always get has to do with their own sweetness. The spiritually enlightened master gives you the idea of their own softness. Now, in this society, the problem we have with that and the confusion we get into is, well, wait a minute. If I'm into my softness, how will I ever get anywhere? Right? Because what Western consciousness has made us think is that hard edge thing is what success is about. You know, we have to go out there. I have to live in this world. I have to become like that. I don't want to become like that, but I have to. No, you don't have to. Not only do you not have to, but the message is here, that will not work. It won't work for you because you know better. It might have worked for somebody else, but it will no longer work for you because you know better. So you may as well go for what really counts. And to go for what really counts means I better just put my own spiritual perfection first, or I'll never get anywhere. And if I don't put my spiritual perfection, which means my being as loving as I can, first, then no matter what does happen out there, it will fall apart at the crucial point anyway because it won't really reflect what I'm really about inside. If I, for instance, you know, treat to get a certain kind of money, we've talked about in here, I treat to get a certain kind of abundance or success outside, if I haven't really worked on my inside, then the truth will be that I don't think I deserve those things. So then, even if I work to make them happen, they'll come into my life and they'll scare me. They'll scare me because I won't jive with my image of myself. They won't jive with what I really think I deserve, and so then I'll do something to sabotage it. Because it's not yet natural to my system. And that's what it means to say you can't skip steps. You've got to get to the point where you feel that it's natural for you to be successful. And the only way you can get to the point where it seems natural for you to be successful is if you're doing what it really is to be a success, and that's serving the children of God the way God would have you do. Does that make sense? But a lot of people are saying, well, once I get my great job, I'm really going to serve the children of God. Right? And once I just get the salary down, I'm really going to serve the children of God. No. It happens the other way. You become, you know, the universe will take you seriously when you take yourself seriously. Now, if you're waiting for your ministry to occur on the outer plane, and the whole universe is going around saying, oh, very important person on the planet, then you're saying, I'll act like one, too. No. It's got to be that you realize that no matter what your job is, no matter what your bank account says, you are a teacher of God, as the Course would say, which means that you take very, very seriously, whether you're a waitress, whether you're a secretary, whether you don't work as the world defines it, that you know that every person that you meet today was sent to you by God. Everybody that you meet today, you were supposed to meet, and there's nobody that you meet today that you weren't supposed to meet. And what goes down between the two of you is important business. God so loved you that he sent you some of his children today. If you met one person today, that should tell you how important you are in the scheme of things, because God sent them to you. And if you don't save that person, who's going to do it? And if you aren't at a point in your life where you can take seriously what your interaction with one person means, how do you expect it to ever be at the point where the world takes seriously your interaction with 50 or 1,000 people? If you can't get it down with one, what is there about you that would get it down with many? And once you get it down, as I say, with many, then you're at a point where you don't have to worry about those things like money and jobs and all that. That will happen of itself, because form will always come to support content. But when you don't have content, then even if you force the form will break down because it's not based on truth. Does that make sense? So the issue for us is that there is no greater success. The issue for us is that there is no greater achievement in life than to live in a successful and an abundant manner with what is. Not trying to change your circumstances, but the Course in Miracles, there's a beautiful line where he says, do not seek to change the world, merely seek to change your mind about the world. The world isn't going to change. All the world is in your experience is a reflection of your attitudes. If you can change your attitude right now to say, oh my God, all that matters here is love. All that matters here is love, and I have no greater desire than to serve that love in others. Then that means that you are already at a place of inner abundance. Because when you are in a place where you are seeing the world from a foundation of truth, that's what it means to be abundant. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Means you shall know why you're really on this earth, and then you're going to be afraid, devoid of fear. The truth will set you free of your delusions. It will set you free of your fear. It will set you free of your selfishness. It will set you free of your anger. It will set you free of your greed. It will set you free of your small-mindedness. It will set you free of your pettiness. And see, the Course in Miracles says you don't have to create a perfect you. All you have to do is to get rid of all that small stuff that sits on top of the perfect you. The Course says this Course does not teach the meaning of love. It merely helps you to get rid of the obstacles to the awareness of love's presence. And that's why we say here, all you have to do is to remember who you are and why you came here. You are God's child. You are his personal ambassador on the planet. You are God's personal ambassador, and you came here to act like it. Now, the Course says all of your behavior will be determined by your self-perception. If you think you're over here and you're separate from the rest of the universe and no goods are going to be yours until you work hard to make them happen, and you feel like other people might be better than you and you have to really fight to make things happen, and there's not enough money and I didn't get the job and I don't like any of you, then that's how you're going to act. If that's the way you see yourself, that's how you're going to act. And then you're going to be surprised that the universe isn't falling at your feet. Of course it's not. People don't like you that much. Right? But if you change your self-perception to say, hey, wait a minute. It's not about my trying to get anything. I'm a child of God, and I'm here to give God's love. And I'm here to just speak straight into the part in everybody, which is not what was. I'm not here about the past. I'm here about the present. I'm here about living God's love in every single moment of my life. If you come from that kind of elegant self-perception, then that's the way you will behave. And your attitudes and your behavior will then conspire to create a new life for you. And that's what it means to be born again. What it means to be born again is to let go of the past. What it means to be born again means to let go of the person that you used to be. Not waiting for circumstances to change, waiting for your own mind to simply choose again. You make another choice. In any moment, you choose again, and to choose again means to say, love is what matters here, my giving love. And to the extent that I serve the process by which love is put into the minds of other people, then I am doing as the Master does. Then I am coming from the level of mastery. Then I am coming from the level of abundance. Then I am coming from the level of inspiration. Those don't have to do with something where God says, I'm going to give you some special stuff. It doesn't work like that. The Course says that to be chosen, the Course says to be chosen by God means that you chose Him. Many are called, but few are chosen means everyone's called, but few care to listen. That's the way it works. And the Course says that the teachers of God are given special gifts. So once you give your mind over to Him and ask that your life be used, and that's what we're taught to do in this Course. Every day we wake up. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? And to whom? How can my life be used by you today? When you practice that kind of mental musculature, then the special gifts descend upon you. And that's an old traditional Christian concept, the idea of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then you don't have to worry about success. It will simply come. It will come because you're coming from a level of brilliance. And other people might think that that means you're lucky. And what you'll know is that it means you practiced. Thank you very much. Amen.